For almost 60 years, the dormitories of Hamilton Witten and Atkin Colby housed Illinois State University students who ate, slept, studied, and occasionally went on panty raids in the South Campus buildings. Now, as the dorms are coming down, they've offered up interesting bits of history. Two time capsules have been unearthed. The first was pulled from Hamilton Witten and, unfortunately, suffered some water damage. The second time capsule, sealed in 1961, had a better fate. In fact, the contents of the capsule were so well preserved, the ink on the paper was so strong that it looked morning fresh rather than middle-aged. So university archivist April Anderson is absolutely tickled.
Isn't this great?
She spread the capsule's contents across a table at the Joanne Rayfield Archives. Anderson points out the fresh-looking sheets of mimeograph. Yeah, remember those? Are almost mint.
Except for some of the burn marks where I think they got burned, a little singed on the edges when they closed up the box.
Oh.
But that's not the only fun piece of history with this box. Students will be students will be students. I don't care what century it is. So this piece, I've got 10 of these 1961 indexes in the back, but this is my new favorite piece of the collection.
Why?
Because they cut it off to fit in the box.
They did. Well, that's kind of like when they would bury a mummy, but he didn't quite fit, so they cut his feet off.
I've been making really horrible jokes about Great Aunt Irma not fitting in the coffin. So, kids, measure twice, cut once. And so, I mean, you could see when you fit it in the box. In fact, here, let me show you real quick. When you fit it in the box, it fits perfectly now that it's been cut to fit in the box. That they felt so strongly that A, the yearbook should go in here, and B, that we probably wouldn't have a copy 50 years later. They have to put this in here, so we're going to cut it to fit it.
April, were they at all surprised to find a second time capsule?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because now, we were surprised about the first one. That made my whole month, to be honest. Tony Herter from Facilities gave me a call and said, I'm about to make your day. And lo and behold, they had found a time capsule. It was a gentleman named Ron Wirt, who is a foreman on the decommissioning site, who had the presence of mind as they were pulling off the cornerstone for Hamilton Witten to look and say, oh, there could be something here. And lo and behold, there was. They pulled out that time capsule, brought it out the next day, and then that's the video that was posted of us opening it, and unfortunately there was water damage in it. When the Pantograph ran that story, my phone rang off the hook of people, alumni, I should say, leaving messages saying, I was there for both, for either Atkins Colby or for both time capsule installation ceremonies. There will be a second one. So I passed that information along to the site, and university folks, we got to be there when they pulled it out for the second time capsule. So that was really, really exciting. Got to pull it out. They chiseled it out of the cornerstone for me, and we got to hold it. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, you must have been very nervous, though, because the previous one had water damage.
Yes, I was a little nervous. And in fact, so when we got the first time capsule and Tony handed it to me, I kind of shook it a little bit to see if there was anything that would move. And it didn't move. Nothing in that time capsule moved. And that's when I knew something was wrong. Something had to be wrong. They cracked the seal on the first time capsule. And there was this awful smell, almost like rotten wine when you cracked it. I've never smelled, and I've been there for a few time capsule openings now, and I've never smelled anything like that. And so my boss, Ross Griffiths, who runs preservation at Milner, he came out as soon as we did, as soon as we opened the time capsule, and we started to pull things out. And we had to have a moment or two every so often to kind of catch ourselves, because it was just, the smell was overpowering. It was just so wet. This one though, so they chiseled it out of the cornerstone and handed it to me, and I stood there for a second, kind of worried nothing was going to move when I shook it again, but thankfully I shook it a little bit and you could hear things moving inside, and that's, I had a sigh of relief. Of course, then we cut the thing open and take the top off, and I see this index thinking, oh my God, what has happened? But it's just them, you know, cutting it and putting it in there.
Just a little 1961 improvisation.
Exactly. Look, you got to do what you got to do to save history. And that's what they did. They cut the yearbook to put it in that capsule.
Let's take a look at some of the other things that were included in that time capsule. I see
quick.
Yes, definitely put the gloves on, and I will keep my hands off. Right in front of us are these a couple of little red booklets with silver tassels.
Right. So this is, I have two of the same. This is a Hamilton Witten dance book. At that time, they would have dances, something I really wish they'd bring back. They'd have spring formals or winter formals. They present their first annual Christmas formal, the Winter Whisper, which the names, you guys, the names that they name these dances are fantastic.
With music by the Dream Timers.
The Dream Timers.
There had to have been close harmony.
Exactly. I would love to meet the Dream Timers, by the way, if they're still around. So you could see they held this first dance at the Feeney Center. So Feeney Center was already up by that point, and they held it on December 10th, 1960, 9 until 12. So it was a little bit of a short dance. And in the first time capsule, there was a form that I've been showing my students, and every time I show this to a student, they just are blown away. Whoa, they had curfew. It was a form to an unnamed student saying, this is what happens to you if you break curfew. You broke curfew, now you're going to be stuck here for tonight. You can't leave your room, and if you do, you have to check in with the honor resident, et cetera, et cetera. And my students keep saying, I can't believe they had curfew in 1959. So we're looking at this and they say, well, that's just a short period of time. I said, well, they probably had to make curfew. You got to get back before midnight. You know, this is Cinderella hour. You have to get back. You'll also notice some of the guests that were there.
Hamilton Witten, the namesakes.
Yes, you had Alma Hamilton and Jeannie Witten were both there.
Richard F. Feeney, they named the dining hall after him.
Exactly. So they got to be there for the first dance, which I thought was really, really special.
Let's take a look at some of the photographs.
Okay. Well, so these, unfortunately, don't have anything on the back. So what is your impression when you look at this one?
That looks like a homecoming float.
Yeah.
Ears to something. Ears, like there's an ear of corn on it.
Yeah. Doesn't it look like an ear of corn or maybe a sausage with a nose? The float?
It does. It has a smile on it.
Yeah, it does. So here's the float from head on.
What the heck?
We think it's an elephant, but then I don't recall. I think we played Western Illinois in November of 60. Because this is homecoming, but I have no idea why there would be an elephant on a float, and there's no information on the back of these. So they threw these in at the last minute, clearly. And it's in front of Hamilton Witten, this float was. I think it says, ears to a flying victory is what I think it says.
Or like at least, Dumbo.
In fact, we had someone suggest that yesterday, that maybe this was in tribute to Dumbo, because we didn't have themes until around this time, around the early 60s, we started theming our homecomings. So maybe this was a Dumbo tribute. And unfortunately, we had the same thing with this other photo. It's the only other photo I have. But this was in a folder of dorm room and administrative documents for Hamilton Witten, which makes sense because it had been up a couple of years at that point. I think this is a photo, and they're all sitting, and I love that their legs are crossed at the ankles, because this is how my granny taught me to sit.
Exactly.
And you listen to your granny. And they're all sitting in rows. I think this is the Women's Council of Hamilton Witten. There's no names on the back. There's no information. It was sitting in the folder, so I'm suspecting that's probably what it is. So this is another one of those. If anybody knows, please let me know. I'd love to know who these ladies are. But they were sitting in a folder with a handy-dandy list of what was in the time capsule.
Okay, it says two pictures of Hamilton Witten homecoming decoration. Mm-hmm. So maybe the elephant was their homecoming decoration?
Probably. That's what we're guessing. I just really wish that we had more information on what exactly that, who put the float together, what is the float supposed to be, we just wish we had a little bit more information, because these photos that were in this time capsule, I don't have as part of the larger photo services collection. Ooh. So these are unique. These were taken by students, for the students.
And what a treat.
I know. I'm a little biased. I do like student materials. So having the dance books, having these student documents, that's the kind of stuff I'd like to get and I like to see.
I see over here we have a Dunbarton weekly calendar of events. Well, so what were they doing maybe around 1961?
So we have for the week of October 3rd through October 7th, on Sunday, they have an arts theater movie called, what is this?
Me and the Colonel.
In Capon, which, by the way, that's where all your grand movies were. Let's see, all dorm meeting on Monday. Food Council representatives from Dunbarton. Dunhall Judicial Council at 10 p.m. Barton Hall Publicity Committee. They had a publicity committee, which I think is great. And then Friday, they had the Big Four Dance, which
was... They had Skitch Henderson?
Yes, they had Skitch Henderson. We had a lot of popular acts come through this university at the time. Yeah.
This was a good crossroads area mm-hmm. for a lot of bands to come through
yeah.
because they're on their way to Chicago or on their way to
exactly.
St. Louis, and
yeah.
they would stop off here to perform.
Exactly. And
wow.
we like to make notes of this when we go through the vedette for other research purposes, and sometimes you'll see a big name and you'll write it down. It'll be some band, and we'll write the names down and know that this is who performed in McCormick Hall or McCormick Gym at the time. There's also announcements. A $10 prize is being awarded to the resident who submits the best idea for homecoming dorm decorations. The homecoming theme this year is Our American Heritage. So this would have been an early, early theme. Ideas should center around scenes, events, people, etc., through the Civil War. Which is important because we really, this university even then values its war service and what we did to preserve our war heritage. So they take that very seriously.
You have a couple of newspapers included here as well.
This is a copy of the Pantograph, October 11th, 1961. This is great because this time capsule didn't have the day etched on it when they installed it. It's been worn away and we couldn't find it. And within the article, a cornerstone laying ceremony at Illinois State Normal University's Atkins Colby Hall will be the highlight of Dad's Day festivities on the Normal campus Saturday. So that tells us exactly when they installed it, and now we know.
Cool.
Yeah, 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 that's really great. Now, you'll notice a lot of the red ink is still really vibrant,
yes.
which is usually the first thing to go. So we're really excited to have some of this red ink, especially on this copy of the Chicago American newspaper, which this one is from, where's the date?
Monday, February 9th, 1959.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's the state's edition, which is in red ink, so very vibrant, bright red, and we love that that's there. The reason we have this is because on the front page, and then later in the paper, if you pull through the paper a little bit, which I love that I can still open, because even papers of this era, just, they're so brittle. One of the headlines, Bursting ISNU Maps Expansion Era, and it's all about South Campus.
And yeah. there's a gorgeous rendering of mm-hmm. the dorms mm-hmm. with Feeney Dining Hall in between them,
yeah.
Which are now gone.
Which
so
are, yeah.
It's a very modern sort of rendering.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite beautiful.
Isn't it gorgeous? And we have commented here a couple of times now, this is something that you would see built today. I mean, this is a very modern structure that they were proposing even for then. This is something that would not be out of the ordinary today if they were proposing to construct something similar.
Just as a sidebar, I like the headline underneath the rendering, Army ripped on use of GIs as houseboys.
Well, so speaking of headlines, if you look over here, it says, where does Hoffa get his money? So I've been here 5 years, and my joke to everybody has been, I'm going to find Hoffa's body back there one day. Go through the collections, and then so finally we open this time capsule and we pull out this newspaper, and someone joked, well, April, you finally got Hoffa, didn't you? I said, oh, we found Hoffa. He was in a time capsule at Atkins Colby the whole time.
April, what is the thing that surprised you the most out of this time capsule?
Just that they put a lot of forethought into what they were putting in the time capsule. They had their rules and regulations, which, again, it's eye-opening to students today. It's, you know, you can't wear your hair in a bun when you go to go to the dining center. You have to wear a certain attire when you go to the dining center. My favorite part was you have to close your blinds at dusk because the men's dorms were right across the way and you could see into the women's dorms, and women must have been sitting on the ledge and, you know, talking across the way, and they were getting in trouble. So they had these rules and regulations in place, and they included those rules into the Hamwit folder telling us what it was like at the time.
They have a code of student life handbook.
Yeah. Right? Personal conduct, housing regulations, student organizations, which for us is great because student organizations change over the years. So mm-hmm. there may have been an organization that someone is looking for information for, and we just don't have it. We'll find it in this booklet. Regulations for social events.
Let's take a look at personal conduct.
Let's see, here we go.
Personal conduct is always fun to look at. Honesty, is one of the standards
mm-hmm.
of conduct. It's number four, mm-hmm. interestingly.
And
honesty is essential to good citizenship.
And then, of course, you'll get in trouble if you furnish false or misleading information on an admission, registration, personnel, or other university forms.
Riotous disturbances. Yeah. I bet that one got violated in the
60s
a lot.
Well, you know, that's funny you mentioned that, and that leads back to some of that Hamilton-Witten documentation. We've had researchers come in looking into the history of panty raids on the university campus.
Really?
Yes. So they've been researching that recently, within the last year or two. So I believe that's why this was popped in here.
I see.
Yes, because that was a popular pastime, evidently, and why they had to have some of those dorm rules and regulations.
April, has it been exciting for you to have people who were there at this time getting in touch with you when they found out that this was open?
Absolutely, because they have stories I wouldn't get anywhere else.
That's Illinois State University archivist April Anderson, who says she hopes if ISU assembles another time capsule, that the archivists could be a part of selecting what goes in for future generations to discover. I'm Laura Kennedy.